to the Dinosaur Man Nerdcast. I'm Andy Hughes. I'm here with Alex Hudson.
Hi, guys. It's me again. Every time it's a song.
I don't like it.
I love it. And the fans love it as well.
Yeah, they've all been hooting about it.
Hooting?
Welcome to the Dinosaur Man Nerdcast.
Turn off now, guys. Bad episode.
And this is our midweek special where we talk noise and reviews.
Noise and reviews. We talk about news and reviews. Basically, we have, of course, the Sunday special, which is an elongated version of this show. Sometimes we talk about a movie. Sometimes we just talk about a fun thing like Harry Potter and how you would survive it.
Yeah, so the last one was Harry Potter.
Episode one.
And the Phantom stone Menace. That makes you live longer.
Oh, yes, the stone that makes you live a little bit longer. But yeah, this is our midweek show. This is our news and review show. Andy is our resident news hound. I am our resident reviews sniffer. Andy, what have you snuffled out like a truffle hunting pig this week from the news barrel?
Reviews wise, we're going to look today at Killing Joke.
Batman. Killing Joke. Batman.
And Cell.
Cell.
Which you watched this week. You might be thinking, hey, but Suicide Squad came out this week. Where is that at? Because Suicide Squad has basically blown up all your news channels this week. The reason we're not doing Suicide Squad today is because Sunday's episode this week, much like the Blues Brothers, we're getting the gang back together and we're going to be doing a full episode of basically Suicide Squad review. So yeah, Suicide Squad has basically been dominating headlines because, like we said last week, the reviews came out, they weren't so favourable.
Yes.
And this has led to Suicide Squad fans trying to close down Rotten Tomatoes. Now, if you don't know what Rotten Tomatoes is, Alex?
Okay, so Rotten Tomatoes... Right, this is stupid for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
The main, like, the number of reasons that it's stupid is basically one stupid reason. It would mean absolutely nothing.
Well, what is Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes is a review aggregator site. So basically, it isn't a review site per se. It just aggregates all these reviews from certified critics. So basically, publications around the world are certified as Rotten Tomatoes reviewers.
So you're talking people like, maybe like The Guardian, so, Times,
so lots
New
of
York
newspapers,
Times.
TV shows, stuff like that, things, any sort of film publication, Sight and Sound, things like that, they're all verified, and even YouTube channels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those that are now certified reviewers. So actually, the spread of who's reviewing Suicide Squad is extensive across the world, right? All Rotten Tomatoes has done is aggregated these into one place. So it takes all of these scores and then gives a percentage of how many percent of those reviews are positive or how many are negative. So at the moment, sitting about 27%, something like that.
Maybe let's.
It's around. I think it's around 30%.
It's not in a good percentage.
And
let's say that.
I think the guy who started the petitions from Egypt or somewhere like that, and it all started out of his mind where he said, "Well, Rotten Tomatoes look unfavorably towards all DC movies," and you think, well, "No, reviewers do."
It's there to basically aggregate these reviewer scores and tell you what the overall markings are.
And they're saying, I can understand their point in that they are saying people are put off seeing the film because of this, but that's definitely not true because look at how much money Suicide Squad has already made.
Yeah, it opened line. And the thing is, there's an easy way to solve this without closing down Rotten Tomatoes.
Don't be an idiot.
Make good movies.
Well, okay, yeah. Fair enough. Your way is a good way as well.
Now, if Rotten Tomatoes are there going, oh, a lot of reviewers hate your film, maybe if you made a good film, and this is mainly towards Batman v Superman, because obviously this the same problem happened then, they're there going, oh, Rotten Tomatoes hates it. No, make a good film. If you want to hear what we thought of Batman v Superman, go back and listen, but it's not nice.
Unless you want to hear four men get angry for ages.
But it just annoys me that you're blaming a site that kind of finds
all,
the mean
all
score.
All is a tool.
And then, you know, at the end of the day, if you look at it, the cinema goer score is higher than the critic score.
Yeah.
So, you know, audience members could easily just look at the user score and go, actually, as fans, people are enjoying this.
Well, this is it. I think that's the important thing. If you're a fan, and you're looking at it and going, oh, should I go and see Suicide Squad? Then actually for you, the best indicator is probably the audience.
Or listen to a podcast, but maybe around Sunday.
Yeah, or wait till Sunday, listen to a podcast and work out whether we wanted you to go and see it. But I think that's the key point, is if you're a fan, then surely you're more geared towards what the audience thinks of it anyway. So
yeah,
you're not necessarily going to share the sensibilities of the critics, but you are going to share the passion of the fans. So if the fans are saying, okay, this is one we like, then that's fine. Go and see the film. It's not going to be... I struggle to believe that this guy is thinking, like, oh, well, I won't see the Suicide Squad because of this. Like, because Rotten Tomatoes has given it such a low score. Because, number one, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't give any scores. Let's just put that out there. Rotten Tomatoes is just a place where it's a handy way to look at the general consensus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm positive. His thing is just, you know, I don't like the way people treat DC's movies. Well, that is DC's fault.
I don't like the way DC's movies
treat me as an audience member. Problem solved.
Although, still like Man of Steel, so... but going off the back of that, obviously, more Suicide Squad
noise.
I literally cannot speak okay. Right now.
More Suicide Squad news.
Yeah, thank you. Jared Leto did an interview this week where, basically, he seems very pissed off. Because he's saying... for this film, I filmed close to a film's worth of footage as the Joker, which could have then been used in an R-rated Suicide Squad if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But also, it's enough to do a Joker film. And basically, his time is limited in this film.
Know that you haven't got the time to tell that story. Just know that going... I can't believe that he thought that they would be able to just do that. Like,
well, he was sold this film as Joker and his pals.
Well, if that's how it arrived, written in crayon on the front fucking page, written by David Ayer, I promise.
David Ayer, 34 and a half.
It's got so many... look, fine, get angry if you want, because you've dedicated so much of your time and got paid huge amounts of money to do this. I'm so sorry that they've got this footage that will end up being used at some point.
In an extended edition of Suicide Squad that will be re-released,
no doubt.
And it will cost you £30 more than a normal version. This is how DC do it. We've already decided.
Right. You are banned from ever buying a DC movie on DVD. I don't want them being funded by you.
Because it's just me.
Okay, well, look. Jared Leto, whether he likes it or not, this was not the film that he needed it to be.
Yeah.
But, look, it's the film that it is. And, honestly, it's, you know, it's not necessary for him to be like, oh, I think that it should have been more of my film. There wasn't the time. Just accept that
it's
your
like
time will
thrown
come.
A tantrum.
He signed up for a multi-picture deal, right?
Yeah.
Be happy that you have got...
money.
Money and films. Like,
and if it goes wrong, you just go back to being in 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah, exactly.
Create more 9-minute music videos.
Yes.
Really,
put all
really
the Joker footage in there. Hang on. You used really all that Joker footage in the video for Black, Purple Lamborghini. Yeah. There you are. There's your fucking Joker film. A bullshit song that doesn't mean anything.
Other news, Marvel released the trailer for Luke Cage. It just got released today as we record this.
Yeah, you know, it's more of the same, isn't it? This is my problem with the Netflix series now, is that I'm just like, I've kind of seen this. It's a different guy, he's got different powers.
It's Punching in Harlem, mate.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I've seen Punching in New York already.
Standing in front of cars, letting them smash off him.
But I've seen that as well, I think.
Letting guys' hands break on his face.
Okay, I haven't seen that before.
That looks pretty cool.
That's one shot. In the series.
Every episode to be another person throwing a punch and just breaking their hand.
But that's going to get tired after one.
No, I think I'll do 13 episodes of it.
It might be cool for like 3 punches. If you see different bones breaking. But ultimately, I don't know, like, you know, Daredevil Series 2 for me wasn't as good as Daredevil Series 1. I still haven't finished Jessica Jones. Because I've just lost interest now. I'm just like, look, I understand what you're trying to do with it, and make the Defenders series, do it. But I know that we've got Luke Cage in the end of September. We've got Iron Fist at some point.
Mate, still got to catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. Ghost Rider returns.
I'm not doing this. And there's going to be a Blade series next year, right?
Is there?
Isn't this the next thing that's coming out on Netflix?
I've not heard anything official, but who knows? Who knows what Marvel are doing?
All right. Should we get to reviews?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so this week, Andy and I have both watched the animated film event of the year. Sorry, The Croods 2.
Is that coming out this year?
I think it's already been out. I don't know. All I remember is that The Croods came out way too long ago, and it hasn't had a sequel yet.
I think they were making one, but it doesn't matter. I watched like...
Don't ever say that The Croods doesn't matter.
I did watch 40 minutes of Secret Life of Pets the other day.
How is it? How is Slop? Yeah?
It was alright.
Okay.
Nothing special.
Is it all good pet stuff?
There were a couple of good moments in there where...
The very beginning of it.
It's basically any moment where you kind of go, oh yeah, my dog's a bit like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. But I don't know what happens in the end, so I can't give a proper opinion on it.
Ground down for meat. I think.
It gets dark.
Like, you know the end of Toy Story 3?
Yeah.
That, but with death. And in a dog food factory. The dogs become the dog food.
Cannibal dogs.
And we can only hope that Kevin Hart's bunny also gets chopped up, but we just don't know. I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's excellent. So
Top-notch review right there. See Good Life of Pets.
I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's excellent. Also, the dog food bit's weird. Okay, so... The animated feature film of the year, in certain people's eyes. Andy, talk us through The Killing Joke. Just give me a brief history of why it is so important.
The Killing Joke was a graphic novel written by Alan Moore. And I can't tell you when it was written. I think it's like early 90s, maybe. And basically, it was Alan Moore's take on the Joker origin. And it's the whole story of... it's not really a long novel either. But I read it in 30 minutes when I first read it. And it's kind of all this idea of Batman going, me and the Joker, we've been through so much. And eventually, if we don't control ourselves or get this under control, one of us will kill the other.
Mm-hmm.
And what you get is you get a lot of flashbacks to the origin of the Joker that Alan Moore gives him. But then in the present, you get the Joker really pushing Batman's buttons and seeing how far he can go. And in this story, I would say spoilers, but it's one of the most famous stories of Batman.
Yes.
He paralyzes Barbara Gordon and then attempts to turn Commissioner Gordon mad. That's basically the top and bottom of it.
This is a film that has been sort of rumoured for a long time.
Yeah.
And then when it was announced, there was a lot of fan pressure to get everyone involved that they wanted to get involved.
Like Kevin Conroy
as Batman and Mark Hamill as the Joker, who are seen as sort of, in terms of the animated series, they are the key figures in terms of, like, you get that guy for Batman, you get that guy for the Joker, you've got a hit on
it. I find myself reading a lot of Joker stuff in Mark Hamill's voice.
Mm.
Just because I really associate that voice with the Joker.
Posh name. English, yeah, sure. Hello, I am the Joker.
Good evening, Batman.
Actually, I think I could do it. I'll do a live reading of it next time.
Yeah.
Next week, I'll do a reading of Killing Joke. You be Batman. Hello, I am Batman.
Remember.
That's very good. And then I will be Joker. Oh, good evening. Perfect.
But can we have Alfred played as like deep Southern Texas?
Well, now I never. That's not Southern Texas. That's like South Carolina. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Master Bruce, I don't know what you've been doing.
Oh, dear.
Spoiler alert, in my version, he's played by Morgan Freeman. Okay, so. This has been hyped for a long time.
Yeah.
And this is. This was the Batman film that actually some people were more excited about than Batman vs. Superman this year, because they were like, this is one of his key stories being told, and being told by two actors who we know and trust.
Can perform it well.
What?
And it's a story that can be trusted as well.
What did you think about the fact that you see Batman bang Batgirl? Now, I have... I have questions about this, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to raise my hand here, Mr. Hughes, in my little class of learn more about Batman.
Okay.
Forgive me if I'm wrong. It made no fucking sense.
Right.
The first half an hour of this film is completely unrelated to the last 40 minutes of this
film.
It's
like two separate films. They obviously tried to make Barbara Gordon more of a character, because in the book, Joker turns up and shoots her. That's about all you get. Mm-hmm. And they've tried to go, oh, we'll give it so you know a bit more about Barbara Gordon. But if you're getting into this film, you know about that character anyway. You know what Barbara Gordon is. And it's this really weird half hour of just, what the fuck are you trying to do? Like, I'm not really... I can see what they're trying to do, but I don't think they ever hit on a successful point in that half hour.
But they hit on successful points, but just not good ones. They succeed in telling you absolutely nothing about anything. if that's a successful point for them, then great. Look, like, my biggest issue with it is, I'm watching the film, right? The credits come up, and it starts with Barbara Gordon saying, look, I know you didn't want me to start this film. And I'm like, no, I didn't. So why are you here? Please go away.
But
movie's got balls, I'll tell you that. To start with a line, I know you don't want me explaining myself and being here. However, we'll get to the good bit in a minute. 30 of them.
Well, we've spoken about why that's there. The main reason is the fact that they needed this to be longer than 45 minutes.
Yeah, because they were releasing it theatrically, this one. Mm. It got a very limited release for theatrically.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's over here, I think it's being staged at the moment. I think it's on in certain places. It's already been on in other places. But it got a big midnight screening. It got a huge event, basically. And in order to justify a $20 ticket or a, you know, a £12 ticket or something like that, you have to make sure that your film is more than 40 minutes long. And what they've done is they've tacked on 30 minutes of material that is completely unrelated, and they've tied it in by going, oh, well, it makes you care more about Batgirl before she gets killed. What, well, not killed, but, you know,
what
disabled.
What did you think about the stuff after that, though?
The actual story.
After you get past that first half hour, what did you think?
I mean, it's fine. It doesn't feel particularly iconic to me as a portrayal of it. I then read the graphic novel afterwards, the comic afterwards, and I enjoyed that more than I enjoyed the film. I think they did a better job in the comic of telling this story. I understand that you're sort of working to a limited frame when you're making these animated movies, because you've got the words done for you, essentially. And they expand around them a little bit, and you can tell which ones are Alan Moore's lines, because they're the ones that actually mean something. And the ones that sort of just feel like filler, they are filler. Like, I understand that it's not necessarily going to be held in the highest regard.
No.
Which is a shame for such a big storyline. Because, you know, even I knew about the storyline.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the reason I know that this is a big storyline, because I spoke to Barrett about this, and when I spoke to Barrett about it, I went, well, that's going to be a tough storyline to adapt, because, you know, it's such a seminal comic. And I was like, if Barrett knows this, and technically, yes, he does know comics, but... Mm. If Barrett knows this, then, you know...
There's absolutely no reason that anyone else shouldn't know this. You know, that's an indication that it's a big thing.
My main issue with it, I thought the score of it was...
Yeah, really
was
nice.
Really good.
Really good.
I thought the art style left something to be desired, though, because they absolutely nail certain images.
Yeah, like, it's weird. They hit beats where you get, like,
the iconic
a moment
images,
you go,
they,
that's great.
They
that's,
nail.
That's it.
But the rest of it looked like a really poor Tintin adaptation. It's the art style, only art style I can associate it with.
Mm.
And it really took me out of it at times. And the thing is, also, that storyline, while it is an incredible story, like, for the time stuff, looking back on it, you do see there are quite really kind of sexist overtones in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a really interesting article, and Vicky posted it on our Facebook group the other day, that somebody wrote for The Guardian about, you know, why stories like this sometimes don't need to be brought to the forefront.
Yeah, you can leave them where they are.
Yeah, so I'd recommend reading that. But overall, would you recommend getting a joke?
If you're involved in Batman and you're a fan of Batman, I think yes, definitely. I think if you don't have any interest in the character in the animated series, then you're not missing anything.
No.
And that's a shame, because I wanted to like it more than I did. And I just came out of it thinking, we haven't really done a good job. And that's a shame for such a big thing. Because you want it, you know. You do
I wanted
want
it to do well.
So, I mean, yes and no. You know, there are things that save it, but there are things that really do it down. And ultimately, it just sort of ends up being somewhere in between and not particularly... It doesn't justify the hype. That's the problem.
No, I absolutely agree.
But maybe it was hyped too much.
Next.
Jesus, we're really motoring on
next.
Here.
Next.
We should have like a little musical segue in between. We'll do something gentler than just you screaming next at me. Andy, I watched Cell the other day.
The adaptation
of the Stephen King
novel starring John Cusack and
Samuel L. Jackson. Yes, that's right. And two children who, not really important who they are.
The kids from Jurassic Park.
I'm presuming, yes, but one of them's a girl.
the kids from Jurassic Park were...
Oh, Jurassic World I was thinking of. Okay, so. We've both read the book.
Yeah, a long time ago for me now. I remember plot points.
Right, when, okay.
But is it, when you were talking to me about this film the other day, more of it was coming back to me as you mentioned it.
So, essentially, the plot of the book boils down to there is an apocalypse, which is caused by signals coming through mobile phones. And people are affected by this and basically turn into zombies. It's an interesting way of retelling a sort of 28 Days Later style thing.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the interesting stuff about the book, was that it was a slightly different take on the zombie film type thing. And you got a different feel for how these things would affect... The book does a great job of letting you know just enough until the next bit.
Mm.
And then they start learning more about how the zombies operate and why they are the way they are. And they start exhibiting like flock behaviour and stuff like that. And it's really quite interesting the way that they progress the story to make it feel like, oh, okay, they're learning on the way from different people who know different bits.
It gets this big crescendo.
Big finale.
Which is... When I heard about this film, that's the bit I was excited to see. I've not seen this film yet.
Well, you shouldn't, because it's not good. Now, well, the issue that I had with it was that all the way through this film, I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay. But in my head, I'm going, there's a better way to do this, and we've already seen it done. It's called The Walking Dead. If you make this into a cereal, okay, Rice Krispies would
Frosties.
Be a good one. Yes, good that we've spent enough time with each other. The 10 years anniversary, we know exactly how each other work. No, if you turn this into a serialization, if you turn this into sort of a mini-series, for instance, like say 6 or 8 parts, something like that, 45-minute episodes, you can tell this story so well. What they've done is they've had to tell the entire story in an hour and 36 minutes or something like that, which means that you're watching it frustrated that they're just sort of going, by 25 minutes in, they already know everything there is to know about these zombies. And you go, but that's not right, because they were still learning shit out about these zombies up until the final battle. Okay?
Yeah.
So at what point does the filmmaker go, hey, I think we should really rush the next sort of third of this film into the first third of the film. Okay, so what do we do then? Do we expand it? No, we just ignore all the stuff that, like, we just have them learn everything at the beginning. And I'm watching it and going, I could do this better. And in my head I'm going, right, episode 1 would be this, episode 2 would be this. And I've separated it out, and I've got a little clear storyline now of like, okay, I can separate that out. The performances are all phoned in.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
The direction is terrible.
If it's rushed, are the performances any good?
The writing, like, look, no one looks like they're enjoying themselves on this film. They just look like that. I understand it's an apocalypse, and no one's enjoying themselves in the apocalypse. But they're all just sitting there, and John Cusack's just got his John Cusack face on, where he hasn't done any good work for about 15, 20 years now. And he just looks tired of acting. And I'm just sitting there going, don't do it then. If it's so hard for you to come in and do this, don't bother turning up.
The thing is, he's struggled since Con Air to reclaim that
magic.
Oh,
yeah, Con Air, which is the film he refuses to talk about in interviews.
Con Air is up there in one of my favourite films of all time.
I know, and that's troubling.
It's probably one of my favourite action films of all time.
Okay, so it's all right.
Put the bunny down.
Yeah, okay. So, he's that. Samuel L. Jackson is Samuel L. Jackson, except he just doesn't give a shit in this film. Because the thing that you can count on with Samuel L. Jackson normally is that he will always be him.
Yeah.
In this film, he's him, but with the mute button on. He just feels so, I don't know, so not caring. And I just think, look, Stephen King films have a really bad rap because there's so many of them which are terrible. And this just furthers that. But you can see that there's a good way of doing it, and there's a way of doing it.
And that's always the most annoying thing, especially if it's from a source material that you really enjoy. And I suppose that's the same for both of the films we spoke about.
Mm.
They're both different types of adaptation, but I feel they both missed the point.
Yes.
Like, missed the mark.
Yeah.
But, like I'm saying, it's on sale without seeing it.
They missed the mark on that one. They don't understand what made the book interesting. And likewise, I think Killing Joke doesn't really understand why the graphic novel is as good as it is. And it is let down by the fact they've adapted it. It didn't need to be adapted necessarily.
Yeah.
And the animation lacks in any sort of depth.
Yeah.
For me. So, I mean, Cell's a definite no.
Would you recommend
Cell's in the worst films of the year.
I would recommend it.
Just to
not,
see.
Not seeing it.
So you may as well try it.
Yeah. Or go watch The Mist, because it's a
The
Stephen
Mist
King,
is one of
Stephen
the best
King,
ones, yeah.
Film with one of the best endings in any film.
True.
Like, if you've not seen The Mist, just watch it, because the ending is phenomenal.
Yeah. Frank Darabont is, again, he proved himself with that film to be the only one who's capable of doing exceptional Stephen King adaptations.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, because, you know, say what you want about The Shining, it is not the Stephen King book. It is Stanley Kubrick's film. So, in summary, this week, we've got a maybe, and we've got a definite miss, but we've also got a good lesson for everyone. Don't go miss crazy.
Don't do a podcast while tired.
And don't go sleep crazy.
Yeah, like we said, Suicide Squad, we'll be doing a full review.
This Sunday.
We'll do the full episode on Suicide Squad.
With special guests.
And like I said, we'll get in some more people in, so it's not going to be just us two.
Yep.
What did you think of The Killing Joke? Do you think that was the right story to adapt, especially with it being like Mark Hamill's final performance as the Joker?
Is it his final?
Apparently. They'll change that. Or would you have preferred to have seen a different story adapted? Why don't you tell us on Twitter at DinosaurMan15 or find us on Facebook under DinosaurMan Nerdcast?
Yes.
I
was just thinking that I could do a really good impression of Mark Hamill hanging up the Joker clothes for the last time. Would you like to hear it?
Of course.
Well, I suppose that's the last time I'll be doing that. Hangs up the coat. Hangs up the face mask. We've had a good run, Joker. Sounds like Richard Harris in Harry Potter. 10 points from Gryffindor.
Obviously, you can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher if you're using an Android phone, or we are on Buzzsprout. Please rate the podcast if you've enjoyed it. Subscribe.
If you haven't enjoyed this one, I can understand why. We barely enjoyed it ourselves.
Tell your friends about it. Thank you to Johnny Knees, as ever, for the theme song.
Yes, he's a lovely chap.
I'm going to go sleep.
And I'm going to go mist crazy. Until next time. Oh, no, wait. That's not the Joker. Come on. I'm Batman. Ah, hello there. Oh, that's it. I'm the Joker, hanging up for the last time. No more joking for me. Thank you. Die.